RadioStPete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan. Job Talk with Dean Logan is presented in part by Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast. Eagle Datagistics, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, in downtown St. Petersburg, it's Eagle Datagistics. Now, let's go live to our studio on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg, the offices of Eagle Datagistics. Now, with Job Talk, here's Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome everyone to another edition of Job Talk. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and wow, what another great weekend we just had. For anyone listening outside the area, and I have some friends listening today from Boston, Detroit, and Phoenix, the weather's starting to cool off and change for the wonderful winter weather that St. Pete is and Tampa Bay is famous for. Really looking forward to the upcoming weather, great biking weather. It's just wonderful. So anyway, if you're listening from a location that's going to be snowy and cold soon, make reservations for St. Pete. It's the best place to be. So anyway, and on to my guest now. I'm so happy to have Chris Radish with me here today. She's the co-owner of Wine Madonna, a boutique wine tasting lounge located at the base of this building in the courtyard in downtown St. Petersburg. Also, Chris is an American best-selling author, award-winning journalist, and nationally syndicated columnist. She's written two works of nonfiction, nine novels, and has appeared on several national television shows. And I'm very lucky to have her take time for her busy book tour schedule to join me on Job Talk. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Dean.
So anyway, I thought you were going to bring some wine today.
I have so much wine inside of me that I could not even lift a bottle. I had a really good time yesterday.
A nice weekend, huh?
Oh, my gosh. It's absolutely fabulous in downtown St. Petersburg. You're crazy not to be here. It's 75 today, no humidity, and the wine bar opens at 3, so I'm sure I'll be recovered by then.
Okay. So I want to talk to you about your newest book, Gravel on the Side of the Road, True Stories from Abroad Who's Been There.
I'm definitely abroad, and I'm getting broader as the days go by.
So, you know, I've been reading it, actually, and it really is one of the best books I've read. I want to tell you honestly, it takes you from every emotion, from being happy, sad, it turns you all around. I just want to tell you, it's really great. Highly recommend it to anyone listening.
It's like life. You know, one day we wake up and we're really happy, and then 20 minutes later our dog starts throwing up and we get sad, just like your dog today. And that's what life's all about, the kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm at the point in my career, which is sort of bowling me over when I think about all the jobs I've had and the places I've been, where I'm starting to recapture some of those ridiculous, lovely, and humane stories about my own life.
And so I want to talk about that. That's what's interesting. I know that, and we'll talk about some of the jobs locally in your establishment here too. But what I find interesting is that your background is really, you've done all these interesting jobs. And so I think that would be interesting for our listeners to hear about some instances for some of those jobs, you know. And I understand that you started off your career as a I think you were picking, packing, and sweating for a buck on a farm, tomato farm.
Absolutely. Actually, my first job, like many young women, it was as a babysitter. And then I got promoted to working on a tomato farm. I lived in a little town in Wisconsin where there was a huge tomato farm, and everyone wanted to work there. We got $1 an hour. Mm-hmm. And when you got the call to go work for Mrs. Bass, it was like a really big deal. But the biggest deal was if you could not throw up by the end of the day. And so here I was, I think I was 13, my brother had already been there, and if you worked all day in the hot sun picking tomatoes, and you got asked to stay extra and pack, that meant you were in.
Wow.
And so there I am, a little 13-year-old girl in the fields all day long, and it's hot, and it's summer in Wisconsin, and there are rotten tomatoes everywhere, and man, I had it in my mind that I was not going to throw up, and sure enough, I got asked to stay and pack, and that was the beginning of my illustrious career.
And so did your mom really hose you off afterward?
Yes, my mom did hose. By the time we got home, my brother and I were just loaded with dirt, and so she would we would stand in the backyard with our arms out like scarecrows, and she would hose us down. And I'm sure I've had other bosses who have wanted to hose me down over the years as well.
So, okay, also You were a Girl Scout, professional Girl Scout.
I was a Girl Scout. I'm in that lovely age where when we were growing up, girls didn't have anything except Girl Scouts. And it was a very important and special part of my life and still is. I'm a very big supporter of that organization. And when I have a degree in journalism, and unfortunately I graduated in the Woodward and Bernstein era where every other person in the world wanted to be a newspaper reporter. I think they're all crazy, obviously, because it's tough work. And so I took a position out of college as a professional Girl Scout. People go, what in the world is that? Well, I was a field director for Big Sky Girl Scout Council. It was my very first job, and I made $9,700 a year. And I lived above a real estate office in a little town, which I call the armpit of America, Havre, Montana. And my job was to do recruiting, training. I was on the board of directors for United Way. I also had a PR component, so I was doing a lot of writing. And I traveled all across the Montana High Line with a survival kit in my little Jeep, Sterno and a sleeping bag in case there was a whiteout or, God forbid, an Indian attack. And it was really a bad time in the early 70s. The reservations were having all kinds of uprisings, and here comes my 20-year-old self driving across the High Line in my little Jeep. It was actually a fabulous job for a person right out of college because I had so much responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, when did you become a window washer?
Well, along the way, I decided to take 6 months off one time and just travel, you know, throw my stuff in the car like everybody wants to do, and which I've encouraged my own children to do. And I needed gas money. This was right before I shoveled the goat poop that one time.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah, yeah. But so I was in Idaho, and somebody needed their windows washed. And so my pal and I were washing windows. And then when we got back to California, we were in Sebastopol, and we also needed gas money. So my friend said, I have a friend who runs a goat farm, and they need the pens shoveled out. Well, I have not ever been able to have goat cheese since then, but I got enough gas money to get to the next spot, which is what it's all about, I guess.
And so did that bring you into the worm harvesting?
No, the worm harvesting came a little bit later when I was working as a part-time bartender at a little cafe up Provo Canyon in Utah and working also as a journalist. And one of the customers who came in, who happened to live down the road from me, said, have you ever picked worms? And I said, well, yeah, when we were kids, we used to go out in the backyard in the garden and get worms to go fishing with. He said, well, I'm making a little bit extra money digging worms in our horse field at night. Would you like to come help? And, well, who wouldn't jump at the chance? So there I would be at night under the beautiful Utah moonlight with my holes in my jeans, crawling around picking worms. And I have to say, it was actually kind of fun.
Really?
So you just never know. You know, when you get an opportunity to pick worms or tomatoes, you just got to go for it.
And you write in your book some experiences you've had as a waitress. Do you still have that ring?
I do have that ring, and I should have put it on today. I keep it by my computer. When I was working at the place called the Chalet, a little beer bar up the canyon where truckers and coal miners would stop, a gentleman came in who had obviously had a stroke. And I was young, and he was, I think he had a little crush on me. And I was very kind to him, and I think he just appreciated the fact that I never mentioned that he drooled when he drank his coffee, and I would always put little napkins there. And then, as luck would have it, I finally got a full-time job as a journalist and for some community newspapers, and he was heartbroken. And he had always worn this really gorgeous turquoise ring with a little snake up the side. And it was my last day of work, and he came in to say goodbye, but then he snuck out the door because I think he was crying. And it's hard, you know, when you develop these relationships. Mm-hmm. And instead of the normal 50-cent tip that he left me, he had a ring box there with this gorgeous little turquoise ring in it because he knew I had loved it. So, you know, those are the moments in life that are really important and memorable, and those are the kinds of things I think that stay with me and I think other people more than sometimes the big events.
Mm-hmm. And that story is in your book.
Yes, it definitely is.
So tell me, now you also worked as a newspaper columnist, freelance writer, and as an assistant bureau chief. So tell me about that kind of work.
Well,
real jobs.
Those were real jobs. When I finally, I had been freelancing too along the way for magazines, and I actually still do some of that work. And I was working for some community newspapers in a little town in Utah, and I finally got a job on the bigger newspaper and literally worked my way up. And the way I got the job at the newspaper is something I highly recommend other people doing. It's one of my many job tips is I sent a registered letter to the editor who was hiring. And so he had to sign for the letter, and who wouldn't want to get a registered letter in the mail? And he had to sign for it, and inside was my wonderful resume. And I swear within 15 minutes he called me, and I got my job. I started out as a correspondent. Then I was a staff writer. Then I was assistant bureau chief. And then I was bureau chief. And then I was a columnist. So I really worked my way up on the newspaper, and it was just a really wonderful time in my life to finally be having those assignments and be working as a journalist. But I also think all my background work, you know, everything really from tomato picking to traveling across the country really helped me manage and do the kind of job that I did when I worked for those papers.
And as a bureau chief, how many people did you supervise?
You know, it started out with two of us, and then by the time I left Utah when I became pregnant with my first child and left the area, I think I was over, there had to be 25-plus people in that, with photographers, columnists, reporters. That was a while ago, but oh my gosh, it was fun, you know, to learn how to become a manager. That's an interesting thing in my profession, and I think it's in a lot of professions where if you become really good at your job, you get promoted to a leadership position, and sometimes you're not prepared for that. And, you know, to take a reporter who's really good and make them an editor or in charge of people doesn't necessarily always work. Mm-hmm. But in my position, I loved it. I loved supervising, but I also maintained my beat because I loved writing so much.
And did you do the actual hiring and firing?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. My boss always sat in on the interviews, and I always had last say, and we did not always agree. But I would always say, look, you're in another office. I'm the one who has to work with these people and forge a relationship of trust. And so it ended up being my call at the end.
So I think this is a good time to ask about your interview tip of the week. And if somebody was interviewing with you, even today, but back then, and you know, what would you say? If there was one tip that you could give anybody who would want to apply for a job with you, what would you tell them?
Well, besides dressing appropriately, which seems to be a problem nowadays when I'm hiring for the wine lounge, I would say do your homework. Get to know the company. Get to know the person who's hiring you. Just do some research so when you walk into the place to the interview, you're not acting like you don't know anything. And then when I was hiring, I wanted I didn't necessarily care about credentials as much as I did about the personality and the person's drive. That really has to come through in an interview. You know, why do you really want to work for me? And I always wanted somebody who would, you know, lay down across the tracks for me. I always had a specific set of questions I would ask them. But usually that personality, you could tell when someone had done their homework and if they knew who I was, what kind of drive I had and how that would pair with their own personality.
Do you see some issues when people are applying even now?
Oh,
what do you see?
I just closed my eyes when you said that. Just people totally unprepared. You know, we have a lovely wine lounge, which also serves as a place for me to host book clubs and special events. And people come from all over the country. We dress appropriately. We dress very nice. We have a lot of fun at the wine bar. But why would you walk in flip-flops, unshaven, or looking like you just came off of an all-night bender, and hand me a resume and say, are you hiring? I mean, really? Absolutely not.
Okay. Very good. And so now, you also worked at the university as a teacher?
Yeah.
Which university?
I worked at the University of Wisconsin, teaching feature writing and news reporting classes, as well as at Brigham Young University, which was an interesting part of my life, teaching some of the same classes and also being the advisor for the student newspaper. Loved teaching. One of my own personal regrets is that I did not get my master's degree when I had the chance. And I can only fault myself because I was working full-time at the newspaper and teaching part-time at the university, and I didn't want to, there was didn't seem to be any place for me to get my degree, but I really should have done it.
Okay. Now, you're also, you've done some lecturing as well.
Yeah, I do public speaking all the time. I've written 9 novels and 3 nonfiction books, and so I have a bit of notoriety behind me. And I hold a yearly retreat for readers, and women come from all over the country to those. And I also do keynote speaking. My novels, and I think even my nonfiction books, are very empowering stories about how to live your life and never missing a chance and living your life the way you want to live your life. And I do have lots of keynote speaking engagements and love it, love talking to my readers and traveling and listening to their stories, which actually help me, I think, maybe more than I help them.
You're doing a speaking engagement later on today, too, aren't you?
I'm doing one, what day is this? Wednesday, I'm the keynote speaker for the Tampa Bay Women's International Association, and then I'm doing 2 book clubs after that. And tonight we have our own book club at Y Madonna. And I am in the middle of a tour. I'll be traveling all over Florida and back to Wisconsin to talk about my new book and whatever else just floats to the top of my crazy mind.
Okay, wonderful. And so tell me a little bit about what brought you here to St. Petersburg. First of all, how long have you been here now?
I have been here 8 years. Before that, I was in Wisconsin. My last full-time job, I was managing editor for a string of 23 newspapers where there were a lot of people who worked for me. And when the kids left for school, it was time for some new adventures. And Madonna is a certified psalm by the Court of Masters. We looked for a very long time for a location to put a wine bar. We looked all over Florida. We looked in many different states. And we kept coming back to downtown St. Petersburg. Because it was, you could just, if you have any kind of business sense, you could just see that the downtown area, which is absolutely stunning, there's not a window you can look out of anywhere in downtown St. Petersburg and not see something gorgeous, albeit a beautiful bird or the sunset. And when you have an opportunity to build a business in a place where people come from all over the world for vacationing, why not? And our bar is going in its 4th year down here right now, and it's just been absolutely lovely to see the return of more businesses, restaurants, places like Eagle Datagistics, who are just knocking it out of the ballpark. It's very exciting.
So if you were a listener, maybe thinking about relocating your company or family here, would you recommend it?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. And, you know, it's been really interesting to see the past maybe 3-4 months, people coming from Tampa over here. Used to be the other way around, St. Petersburg, people all going there. But also just numerous people, real estate, looking to relocate. What do you think about starting a business here? It's just a really dynamic, growing community, and anyone would be crazy not to come become a part of it.
Perfect. So I just have a few more questions for you, actually. And one thing I just want you to let people know, because one of the parts of your book that I really found extremely interesting, but that you actually hung out the side of a helicopter. And you were in the Bosnia War.
Yeah. Well, I when I was working as a journalist in Utah, I had just ridiculous, I call them opportunities. I covered murder trials, was at the scene of plane crashes. When we had a flood 1 year, I was helicoptered up the canyons to take photographs and to report on a huge national disaster that we had, that we had so much rain that a mountain literally fell over and blocked off a town. And I actually lived up there for all day long and would come back and write the stories at night. It was just like the movies. It was very exciting. And, yes, I did have an opportunity to go to Bosnia with the Wisconsin Air Force. And I went undercover and infiltrated some white supremacy groups and was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize for that work. It was all very exciting and wonderful. And I have to say, if I had an opportunity to go back and have another job like that, I would probably leave the wine bar and go do it in a heartbeat. Not that we don't have exciting times at the wine bar.
Right, of course. And you rappelled down a mountain cliff?
Yeah, well, you know, it's always fun to do these first-person stories, you know, rafting in the Colorado River and almost dying.
I was going to ask you about that next.
Yeah, so I took a rappelling class with a master climber who actually went up to Mount McKinley, and the Provo Canyon area was just great for rappelling, and I don't know if I could do that anymore. And I also was also an ice climber, and I got a little bit away up the frozen waterfall, and then I came to my senses.
That's funny. So now you also, let's see, the thing I really want to talk about now is the, you know, you've got a right now you're going through a book tour. You're here in St. Pete, and you're going to, what is your schedule over the next few months?
I'm doing a book event in Punta Gorda. I'm doing a wine and book talk event on Sanibel Island. Then I jump over to Vero Beach, and I'm doing an event there at the Vero Beach Book Center. Then I come back to do a wonderful event at the Inkwood Bookstore in Tampa. And then I go over to Jacksonville to meet with some movie producers, which is always kind of an exciting thing to do. I'm up to Wisconsin, where my roots are, to do a lovely book event and dinner at my hometown bookstore. And that's as far as I've gotten. Then I think Santa Claus comes or something. I think and I need to get back to writing, too. So hopefully by January I'll be, my next book's actually finished.
I was going to ask you, what is your next book topic, if you can mention it?
My next book is called The Year of Necessary Lies, and it's historical fiction. And I'm very excited about this book. It's a story that I've wanted to write for a very long time. And it starts in Boston in 1903 and ends on the west coast of Florida in 1904. And it's a book about strong women and who came before us and what they did. And I also am fancy myself somewhat of an amateur ornithologist. And I'm writing about the plume trade. Back in the early 1900s and late 1800s, women were literally wearing birds on their heads, and the entire beautiful birds that we see flying now were almost decimated. And it took a lot of strong-willed people to start the Audubon Society, and the very first National Wildlife Refuge was in Florida. Wow. And so I love doing research, and I'm working on the book after that, and obviously a sequel to Broads Who Have Been There.
Okay.
Because we have to keep going there.
Certainly. So if people want to hear or read more about you or buy your books, do you have a website?
Yeah, I do. It's my name, www.chrisradish.com, and my books are all listed on there. And
how do you spell that?
K-R-I-S-R-A-D-I-S-H. Hot and spicy.
Yeah. And does Wine Madonna have a website as well?
Absolutely. It's winemadonna.com.
Perfect. Chris, thank you so much for coming today. I really appreciate you being on the show. I've been asking for a while. I'm glad you took some time out. Thank you.
My pleasure. I'm going to get you some wine now.
I'm going to need it.
All right.
Anyway, thank you very much. And that was my guest, Chris Radish. Make sure you're the best-selling author and co-owner of Wine Madonna, a boutique wine tasting lounge located in downtown St. Petersburg. Be sure to check it out next time you're in the area. Chris is often there, and make sure you stop and say hello to her. You can also pick up a copy of her latest book there, Gravel on the Side of the Road, True Stories from Abroad Who's Been There, and her other books, too. You'll definitely enjoy your visit. So anyway, I want to take time this time to thank everyone for listening to Job Talk on RadioSt.Pete.com. I hope you'll also listen to the station whenever you can. You should check out the local musicians who are featured here often, as well as the other programs on RadioSt.Pete.com. That's R-A-D-I-O. STPETE.com. You can download the free app and listen on your phone, tablet, or computer. You'll also find the archive shows there, so you can listen to the past shows at your convenience. Please check it out. If you like what you hear, I hope you'll listen again and tell your friends. If you have any suggestions for guests or have any job-specific questions, please send an email to us at RadioSt.Pete.com. I'll answer any questions on the next program. You'll also see information on our upcoming guests, and I have some very exciting guests coming up as well. So many thanks go out to Joe Bordeaux, Chuck, Richard, Hari, my engineer Sean and Dan, and all the Eagles for their support. And of course, it wouldn't be right Dan Job Talk without saying at least just one more thing, that truly, if you are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should take a look at all that St. Petersburg has to offer. I'm glad I did, and I'm sure you'll be happy you did too. You really can't beat St. Pete. So thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Dean Logan. Take care.
You have been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, Eagle Datagistics in downtown St. Petersburg. Job Talk with Dean Logan came to you live from our studios inside Eagle Datagistics on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg.
RadioSt.Pete.com.